26. Wedge Antilles pinched his face in a scowl. Unlike some other things about him, time had only made his glare more impressive. Jaina felt it brush her and shivered, though she knew she wasn't its intended target. That would be Kip, seated between her and Gavin at the roughly finished wooden table. "General Antilles," she began, but then the full weight of his anger did fall on her, stopping her cold.
"You should have told us he would be here, Lieutenant Solo,"
Wedge said, his voice as soft and tense as the wire on Tion's lute. "It was less than honest, and far less than I expect of you." Beyond the rustic stone walls of the hilltop garden and its topiary canopy, the sun jeweled the silver sea with noontime light, and the fields that rolled up to the shore breathed of bristing blooms and balm grass. A herd of stumpy, grassle-necked fecklin whirred and boomed their displeasure at a family of hopping squalls. The sky was blue, with no hint of vapor. After the cramped quarters of an X-Wing, a ranch on Chondrilla was the best meeting place Jaina could have imagined. More practically, it was also a place where it was easy to see one's enemy coming and speak freely, with only minimal fear that unwanted ears might hear. That was especially true because the estate was owned by a trusted relative of Gavin Darklighter's wife, Sarah. But that lovely world all but vanished for Jaina, replaced by Wedge's eyes, those verdant polished spheres that had seen so much combat and tragedy, that had looked kindly on her as a child. Wedge, who had fought alongside her father and mother and her Uncle Luke from the very beginning, to have him glare at her like this was very difficult. She felt a sudden comforting presence and for a minute accepted it, grasped for it even. She needed every reassurance she could get. Then she recognized it as Kip's touch. That was the last thing in the universe she needed right now, comforting or not. Get back, Kip. She swallowed and addressed Wedge again. "General, I apologize, but I didn't think you would meet with me if you knew Kip was involved. Neither did Colonel Darklighter." Antilles now turned his ire toward Gavin. "You were in on this too, Gavin. She could have hidden Duron's connection from both of us, Wedge, simply by not bringing him along when she met with me. She didn't. She was up front with me. I advised her to do things this way because I know you, and, more to the point, I thought there was every possibility that my call to you was monitored. There are plenty of people who would love to make a present of Kip Duron to the Yuuzhan Vong. You want to blame someone? Blame me." General Antilles chewed at that, didn't seem to like it, and swallowed it anyway. He glanced back up at Kip. "Duron, I don't like you," he said. "The very best thing you are is a murderer. The very worst—" "Wait a moment, General," Kip interrupted. "You know what I was going through back then? Han Solo and Master Skywalker forgave me and brought me back into the fold. I had hoped you could, too."
"You don't deserve their forgiveness," Wedge shot back.
"Look how you've repaid them. Luke you denounce and deride. And as for Han, you've roped his daughter into a politically precarious position, if not something far worse." "General," Kip said quietly, "I'm sorry about Kwaizooks. I've told you that before. At the time, I thought what I did was for the best. She had information in her head that could have brought the New Republic to its knees."
"You leave her out of this," Antilles warned. "You don't even so much as speak her name, or I'll blast you where you stand."
"General," Jaina said desperately, "please. Whatever you may think of Kip, he's discovered something important, something that threatens us all."
"Fine," Antilles said, sitting back and brusquely waving his hand. "You have evidence of this danger? Let me see it. The sooner this is over with, the sooner I can find some clean air to breathe."
The four of them watched in silence as Kip replayed the hollow Jaina had seen last beneath the frozen surface of an unnamed world.
When it was over, the silence continued for some time. It was Wedge who broke it.
"Emperor's black bones," he muttered.
"That was my reaction," Gavin replied. "Now you understand why I thought you should see this."
"Yes, I suppose I do."
Wedge straightened and knitted his hands together. He looked at Jaina.
"You've seen this for yourself?"
"No," Jaina admitted. "I've seen this same hollow. But it's pretty clear what it is."
Wedge rubbed his forehead. "No," he said, "it's not unambiguous. It could be a fueling device, for instance."
Kip cleared his throat. "General Antilles, may I speak?"
"Go ahead," Wedge said, grimacing.
"It may be a fueling device, of course. That doesn't mean it isn't a weapon. If that ship can manipulate gravity at that scale, only fools wouldn't understand its military implications. Whatever you might say about the Yuuzhan Vong, they aren't fools."
"No," Wedge said. "No, they aren't. But until we see it used militarily—"
"It would be too late then, General,"
Kip burst out, leaping to his feet.
"Shut up and sit down," Wedge snapped. "Let me finish what I was saying." Kip's lips remained pressed tight, and for an instant, Jaina caught a glimpse of something she didn't understand. It passed quickly. Kip sat down.
"You're done, Duran?" "Good. What I was saying was, until we have real evidence that this is a military weapon, we can't go to the Senate with this. Maybe not even then."
"Why?" Jaina asked.
"Because they won't do anything," Wedge replied. "At least not right away. And Senate security is leakier than a gas sieve. The Yuuzhan Vong would know within hours that we're aware of their superweapon. Hours after that, their officials would assure Borsk Felya that it's either harmless or something meant only to be used in their own defense. They'll reiterate that they have no designs on the rest of our systems so long as we comply with their demands."
"You mean like turning anyone with Jedi training over to them?"
Jaina interjected.
"Right. Which brings up my final point in this round." He looked straight at Kip.
"When they consider the source, a lot of senators would rather trust the Yuuzhan Vong than Kip Duran."
Kip bore that silently. Jaina couldn't. "Your pardon, General, but that's absolutely insane. Kip's been out there fighting while the Senate has dithered, caved to Yuuzhan Vong demands, and ordered the arrest of Master Skywalker. If anyone isn't to be trusted, it's Felya and the Senate." She braced for another salvo from Wedge, but he smiled gently instead.
"Solo, that's what I just said."
"It is."
"More or less. Understand this, though. I know you don't care for Chief Felya.
I don't either.
But he isn't a traitor, and he's not stupid. He doesn't think the Yuuzhan Vong will keep their word any more than you or I do. But he is a politician, and he thinks he can play that game better than they can. Everything he's doing is aimed at buying time, and he's right. Time is what we need to understand Yuuzhan Vong technology, to digest their tactics, to strengthen our own forces. Felya will never order a strike while the Yuuzhan Vong are quiescent. He'll maintain the illusion of truce as long as he can."
"So you're saying there will be no military mission to take this thing out?" Gavin said, outraged.
"No official mission, no,"
Wedge replied. "Then what are we going to do?" Jaina asked.
"Whatever we do," Wedge said, "there will be repercussions. Anyone involved in this could easily end up in the same escape pod as Luke."
"Wouldn't that be a shame?" Gavin drawled. "Rogue Squadron has resigned from the New Republic before. We can do it again."
"Rogue Squadron can't handle that," Wedge said, waving at the frozen hollow of the ship and its trail of starfire. "Can it, Duran?"
Kip nodded reluctantly. "The Yuuzhan Vong have the Cernpedal system locked up tight. It will take real muscle to get in there. But if we take out that thing, we also take out their major shipyard. You want to buy time, General? That could buy you quite a lot.
I see that, Duran. But I'm just a retired advisor to Rogue Squadron. I don't have the power to send a fleet.
General, with all respect, Jaina said, you may not have the official power, but you have the influence.
Wedge folded his arms and regarded her for a long moment. Solo, do you believe this? Do you believe what Duran has shown us?
Jaina felt the weight of that question pressing her toward the planet's core.
This is why Kip wanted me here, she reflected. They trust me.
Yes, she said, I believe him.
The general hesitated another few seconds, then held up his hands in surrender. Gavin, I don't have to ask where you stand on this.
No, sir, General. I saw that thing when they were growing it, when there was plenty of time to destroy it. I had to sit around while my information was all but ignored. And now we have something to deal with that we may not be able to stop at all. But Rogue Squadron will give it its best shot.
Volunteers only, Wedge warned.
Of course, as if that will make a difference.
Wedge grinned wryly. I understand, but the point has to be made. As I said, I want everyone to understand the political as well as the mortal danger inherent in this.
Understood.
Very well. I'm going to contact Admiral Creefe. I think he will be extremely interested in this situation. If that falls through, well, we'll go from there.
He turned to Kip.
I want you to understand something, Duran. You will not be in control of this mission, nor will you be at liberty to command your gang of pilots unsupervised. We'll need every ship we can get, but not if that means the chance of an unpleasant surprise from a bunch of undisciplined hotshots.
If my pilots are undisciplined, General, they would not be alive, Kip replied. But if you're making my participation dependent on following orders, that's fine with me, so long as I'm involved in the decision-making process. They are my pilots. I owe them a voice.
A voice you'll get, Wedge replied, his own speech strained.
But for the duration of this mission, you will submit to authority.
Kip nodded fractionally.
As you say, General.
Antilles rose, nodding at Gavin and Jaina. Colonel, Lieutenant, I'll speak to you later.
That's the problem with trying to hide from a Jedi, Jaina thought. Through the spirate leaves of the tint olive trees grappling with the hillside, she could see Kip, dressed in Jedi robes, walking up the flagstone steps to the small pavilion she had found in her search for solitude. The afternoon had brought puffs of cloud with it to wander shadows across the plain below. A lone distant peak was crowned with darkness and lightning, a reminder that not all water vapor was so peaceful. Behind her, the centuries-old villa rambled across the ridgetop, a maze of gardens, orchards, and cool stone halls. Her mother had once described a family estate on Alderaan. Jaina imagined it had been much like this.
Hello, Kip.
She sighed as he came around an immaculately groomed stand of some sort of feather-leafed tree, with bark scored into diamond patterns.
You're avoiding me, he said. You noticed. Mind telling me why?
Because I know you're going to ask me to fly with you, and I can't.
And because you're hiding something from me.
But she didn't want to give that last up to him just yet.
Kip leaned his shoulder against the nearest tree.
Why not, he wondered. Not that I was going to ask.
His voice was gentle, jovial, and he grinned suddenly at something he must have seen on her face.
What's got you so amused? Jaina asked.
You looked surprised.
It's fetching.
I fetch nothing, she snapped.
It's just you. You're all over the grid. One minute you're as touchy and surly as a feral bantha, the next you're the meditative Jedi master, the dear friend, the sensitive fellow.
Who are you, Kip?
Who are you, Jaina?
Oh, no, don't start that with me.
The questions you ask condition the answers you get, he said with a small shrug.
Okay, okay. So you didn't come to ask me to fly with you?
No, you were right about that. Kip admitted, absently scratching his left ear.
I intended to ask.
So you've asked and I can't, for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which is that I am still a member of Rogue Squadron, and they'll be in the same battle.
As you say, asked and answered. But I have a more important request.
Get to it, then.
Kip straightened and clasped his hands loosely together. His features took on an unusual gravity. Behind him, in the middle distance, a flock of avians with quicksilver wings rose toward the sky. A moment later, when the mutter of thunder that had startled the flock reached her ears, Kip was still hesitating.
"I'd like you to be my apprentice.
You're kidding. Not in the slightest. You've interrupted your Jedi training. I think you should take it up again. I think you will bring something very special to the Order."
"Yeah? And why wouldn't I go back to Aunt Mara, then?"
"Because she's unavailable. Besides, you don't agree with her. You have much more in common with me."
"In a Sarlacc's belly."
"Whatever. But you know it's true."
He paused.
"You're trying too hard, and maybe it was too early for me to ask. I like you, Jaina, and I value what you are and what you could be. Keep it in mind. I'll leave you to the peace you sought."
He turned to go.
He was almost out of sight when she leaned forward and called out to him.
"Wait."
He turned slowly.
I'll think about it. Probably not for long, but...
"Yeah, I'll think about it."
"Good," he replied. "That makes me happy."
"Yeah, well, don't get too happy," she said. She didn't watch him go. Instead, she turned her face out to the vista.
"I'm blushing," she berated herself. "How ridiculous."
But she didn't feel merely ridiculous. She felt...
No, forget it.
So she turned her thoughts outward, to space above, to her brothers and her parents, wondering how they were, what they were doing, hoping they were well. And to the coming battle.